Talking today with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, since last we've talked, we've had the opportunity to see, among other things, President Obama's budget for USDA. It seems like a very overt attempt to maybe rewrite the 2008 farm law.
Oh, absolutely. Once again, Ron, the president and his administration are coming right at us right down the middle, whether it's the taking of $1.5 billion out of the direct payment safety net or lowering the payment, current payment caps, or redefining adjusted gross income, or stripping literally billions and billions out of the crop insurance program. They're coming right at us. And that's really kind of maddening for me, because I thought after they offered essentially these same proposals 1 year ago in their first budget message, and Congress soundly and completely rejected it, I thought maybe we'd gotten their attention. But hey, this crew may take more than just one lesson.
Now, it seems like they really just went down the list. They wanted to lower payment limits. They wanted to reduce the amount of actual payments. They obviously want to get money out of crop insurance. They're looking for money from agriculture in a lot of different ways.
And don't forget taking $380 million out of the extremely popular Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP. And it's just across the board. I mean, just literally across the board. And the great irony here is, now I realize that the president wasn't in the Senate that long, but farm bills are multi-year crafted documents where a set of assurances are given to producers that if they will sign up and abide by the terms of the farm bill, that we will honor our commitments to them. And taking these kind of chops in a farm bill that's really not that old, passed into law in 2008, is just an ominous statement about where we're headed. And I'm not totally sure that they backed off on their cap and tax program. They desperately need that $700 billion in revenue it'll generate by taxing people. So if you look at the proposal, dramatically reduce the safety net, yet dramatically increase farmers' expenses, this is a frightening insight into the logic down at the White House.
At the same time, I guess they're also very, very interested in trying to regulate a lot of other different things as far as farm policy is concerned, and they're having trouble getting the 08 Farm Bill even implemented.
Oh, you're exactly right. And there are some areas where, such as going after the EPA's CO2 rules, Senator Murkowski's language disallow the rules, and there's a couple pieces of similar language being worked on in the House, where maybe we can protect ourselves from the administration out in rural America.
You know, we've heard a lot, as far as you mentioned cap and trade, we've heard a lot that because of the Massachusetts Senate vote, that a lot of these programs may be finally pushed off to the side by the Obama administration, by the Democratic leadership. Is that the case, or are you concerned that health care and or cap and trade will possibly still be around?
Ron, I was on the floor of the House last week for the President's State of the Union address, and he reiterated he was committed to his health care proposal. I attended the Republican conference planning retreat in Baltimore this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where he came to see us and in a give-and-take session basically reiterated his commitment once again for some version of his national health care. You take those two statements, you throw on top of that the fact that they desperately need a revenue stream from somewhere, and cap and tax, or some version of their so-called global warming bill, generating $500-700 billion, that's the kind of revenue stream they need right now for their other spending priorities. So while on the surface it appears national health care and the global warming cap and tax bill are dead, for reasons of the president's philosophical principles on health care and the need of his pocketbook on global warming, I don't think we can turn our back for a moment. We can't take a chance. We've got to be vigilant in this situation.
In your opinion, you know, you mentioned the State of the Union address. Do you feel like that his reference of at least some support for these free trade agreement deals, Colombia, Panama, and South Korea, do you see any hope of getting these things moved successfully?
He danced so completely on those issues when he came to the Republican retreat. I mean, that's the great irony. We've got three trade agreements ready to go. Just simply give us a vote in the House and the Senate, and they would be done. Yet he would not take a position. If he's going to take resources out of the farm safety net, if he's going to increase the onerous burdens with which we operate on, then at least I think he has the obligation to give us the ability, where we've got three trade agreements ready to go right now, an opportunity to at least do business around the world. I just don't know what to expect of this administration. He, in State of the Union and in the appearance before the Republican retreat, essentially came out after us in a very aggressive fashion. But we need to remember, this is the guy who had, in his own party, 60 of the 100 seats in the United States Senate for most of 2009. He had a 41-seat majority in the United States House for almost the entire year. Yet, with supermajorities in both the House and the Senate, he couldn't get his nationalized health care bill through. He couldn't get his global warming tax bill all the way to his desk. All of their other big-ticket items fell by the wayside in the same fashion. If he's going to try and be a Harry Truman now and run against the Republicans in Congress, the simple fact of the matter is for 3 years, we haven't been running the show. And for one of those 3 years, his first year as president, they had super majorities. They had total control of the legislative process. He just couldn't get his own folks to vote for this stuff.
We've talked a little bit about implementation of the 08 farm law. Your chairman, Mr. Peterson, at the House Agriculture Committee, is talking more and more publicly about wanting to go ahead and start the process of hearings right away on whatever the next, what you want to call it, 2012-2013 farm bill. Are you okay with that?
I am willing and happy to participate with Colin. We need to be careful in how we do this so that we create an environment by which we can justify and defend the commitments made in the 08 Farm Bill as we prepare for the one in 2013. Colin, I think, is very nervous that when the majority in Congress and the administration decide to do something called budget reconciliation, and that is go through and make cuts to existing programs, that because we in rural America represent such a small number of voters, that we are in the front line for the chopping block. That may well be the case, but I think first and foremost, we need to justify how every penny is being used in the existing Farm Bill and make sure the administration's actually using every penny that's called for in the Farm Bill. And then from there, we fight the battle for the next round of resources in that safety net.
You allude to the fact that we need to be spending the monies, implementing and running these programs. Are there some programs that you are concerned about right now that maybe aren't being utilized right?
Let's just say that as we go into this process, that the administration needs to fully utilize their resources, and we'll see how that works out over the spring and summer. I have had at times in the last year a little bit of a rocky relationship with the Secretary of Ag. I think he's a decent fella, former governor of Iowa, and I'm willing to give him the benefit to continue to do the right things over at the department. But the bottom line is, when the administration that he works for wants to make massive cuts in their budget proposals for what has been committed now since 08, then I have to be nervous about the whole process.
Beyond any sort of hearings on new farm policy or reviewing where we are on the 08 law, what else do you see in the House Agriculture Committee here in 2010, an election year?
Colin and I are right now in this process of discussing what the committee hearing schedule should be and comparing notes on what we would like to see legislatively. That's still not quite worked out, but I would hope the primary focus would be on implementation, would be on making sure the resources were being spent wisely. But we'll see how trade works into this. We'll see how a number of other issues. And if someone should come after us with a budget reconciliation bill, then hopefully we'll use the committee in an educational defensive process to explain to the rest of the House. Because unfortunately, Ron, only a small fraction of the folks I serve with in the U.S. House really understand what rural America is all about or have a clue as to how this very small part of the federal budget is spent on the farm safety net.
At this point, Congressman, we've had quite a bit of wintry weather in your district and other parts of Oklahoma and Texas and this entire part of the country. It makes you think, obviously we've got some folks that may be looking at some disastrous type situations. And I think, makes us think about the SURE program, about other disaster declarations and the like. Do you see, what is at this point, how good do you feel about how they've come about putting together these SURE regulations out for 08 and 09?
I'm waiting to see how they're fully implemented, but I'm still a little nervous about what we're going to get. And I would note for you, Ron, the common refrain as I've traveled around the district in the last couple of months is, and I think they're tongue-in-cheek referencing the president and the issues, but the common tongue-in-cheek statement is, you know, thank goodness we're in global warming or we wouldn't be able to survive this winter.
One other thing, Congressman, I know that in regards to FSA, we've heard a lot of talk. I don't know if you've gotten any complaints back from any of your constituents or not, but a lot of parts of the country, FSA's had a real trouble being able to send out the right payment or payments at all. And I know that just a lot of pressure, it seems like, right now on trying to get payments out successfully from the Farm Service Agency.
And we're getting input back from across the country on that, and I'm confident. I believe the local FSA employees are doing everything they can, but they've gone through so many system changes and software changes and changes in the program, they're having a hard time getting it all done, but they're trying. But there is frustration out there, and it's legit.